changed. They need to change that law. And maybe government should be a minority shareholder and a for-profit commercial business should take over the entity. It's not as if SAA serves poor people. They serve richer and middle-class people. So why shouldn't a commercial business take it over, take majority shares, run it like a business and not like a feeding trough for cronies? And then also, I would suggest lessen the power of unions, generally speaking. Yes, give them the rights, but don't allow them to strike, you know, willy-nilly. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Let's go to Ian. Ian in Boitasig. Hi there, Ian. Good morning.
Good morning, Kino. It's a sad story, this business rescue.
Yeah, you I believe, went under business rescue, is it?
No. Oh. We're a supplier to a company that is under business rescue at the moment. It's public knowledge, so I don't know if I should mention it or not. And we're a small supplier. And what we saw was actually quite devastating to small suppliers. You know, we were fortunate enough, we've got a fair amount of trade history.
Yeah.
But your bigger creditors are the ones that benefit the most out of business rescue.
Correct.
The smaller guys who have lower voting rights when it comes down to what business rescue plan you're going to go with end up, we've been told we're lucky if we're going to get anywhere up to 20 cents to a rand.
Oh, yeah.
And when you take 10% of your monthly turnover away from a small business, you basically cripple the company, man.
Exactly. Well, knock-on effects. I mean, I'm glad you raised this, Ian. Because I mean,
essentially, something's got to give. You know, you're not taking a problem away. You're spreading the problem from one to many.
Exactly.
And what we saw was the big finance houses. Because they are secured creditors, their returns were somewhere around 80 cents to a rand.
Wow.
The projected returns, somewhere 80 cents to a rand. And my logic was, you know, even if they do take a knock, you look at their financial...
their balance sheets are healthier, man. They've got fluidity, absolutely. You don't.
Absolutely. And the tough part is that unsecured creditors make up... in our case, it was something like 15 or 16% of the voters, and our voting right turned out to be somewhere around 0.0031% or something, you know. And when we spoke to the guys who represented the small business, he said, you know, the big boys are looking after themselves, because the alternative to that is if the business rescue plan isn't accepted, is liquidation, where everybody's then leveled to more or less the same place.
Yeah.
A lot lower, where we were projected to somewhere around 2 cents to 6 cents to a rand. And I said, you know what, for the money and what we're losing, I'd rather have the big guys suffer and everybody gets drawn down to the same level, and that way business rescue won't become such a hot proposal.
And I mean, I'm just still am drawn back to what you said about the knock-on effects and the economy that we sit in, the juxtaposition. It doesn't bode well. Let's go to Stefan in Pardon Island. Good morning.
Hi, morning, Kenan. We are three business partners who booked three flights to Austin, Texas via New York. So we're flying Joburg, New York in April next year, early April. And we are so worried about, you know, what do you do? Do you cancel them? Do you hope that the flights are actually going to take place? We are very, very worried about the whole situation.
I mean, I would never, I mean, personally, I would cancel the flights, and well, first you have to do the sort of cost benefit analysis of doing that, right?
Then
you have to hedge your bets, going, okay, what is going to happen to SAA? Are they going to be able to still honor this in April next year? How long is this business rescue process going to take? So obviously the risk is there, but I mean, what would it cost to cancel flights? Have you checked?
No. After we heard now that they are in business rescue, you know, does it mean that all flights are going to be cancelled and stopped summarily, or what?
Well, we just heard now that one flight is not operating. I don't know if that's directly linked to business rescue. One obviously needs to find out more about that. If I have Claddy on a bit later, who's the spokesperson for SAA, it's one of the things that I'll ask him. But I think just to start, Stefan, do some homework today about what your options are. And just look at what an acceptable loss would be if you want to be certain that you're going to fly in, when you said April, hey?
Yeah, April.
Early April,
The other thing is we also have insurance with TIC, which is Travel Insurance Consultants, which is affiliated with Suntum. So I don't know if we've got to talk to them as well.
Yeah, you need to find out if they're still honoring those tickets. I know one of the big insurers decided not to cover SAA tickets, which is why Flight Center. Yeah. But do that. If I were you, I'd do all that legwork this morning and just
do that.
Make sure that you can sleep reasonably peacefully tonight. Right, Stefan. Sorry, man. It's not lekker to be in that situation. But you can call in this morning. I'm looking for personal stories here. SAA. Yeah, we can have the big, big, fancy discussions around what business rescue is and like it. We can do it, and we will. But how are you affected by this? That is the key thing. Maybe people you know, how are you affected? I know Bruce is flying to Hong Kong at the end of the year, and he says, oh, I'm so happy. I booked Cathay Pacific. I personally don't book SAA. I haven't flown SAA for years. I don't like the airline. I don't like the service on the airline. That's been my personal perspective. So I've never ever booked flying SAA. I'm not sure if someone might have booked me on a SAA flight at some stage. But personally, if it comes to my money and that I spent, no. And a lot of people are finding themselves in a bit of a challenge. But it's not the only story out there. Hey, please introduce other things you'd love to talk about. I really look forward to hearing about the other things happening in society as well. We can talk SAA. Yes, of course we can. I see you've sent some voice notes as well. I'll certainly go back to your WhatsApps when I return.
Cape Talk. Cape Talk. WhatsApp Kino.
072-567-1567.
And I'll certainly play some of the WhatsApps that you've sent in. Thank you for taking the time, by the way. A lot of people wanting to comment on SAA. And then, Dudu Muyeni, someone arrest her already. I'm just saying it because I'm so angry. You know, the money that you've worked for all these years, has been poured into this SAA. And people like Dudu Muyeni, chairman of the board, turned the ANC's a luta continua to a looter continually. Getting their hands in the trough, getting their friends in and stuffing it up. How she cannot wear orange baffles me. I hope someone lays criminal charges against her. But, I mean, we need to find that proof first, right? But we'll listen to some of the voice notes. I see Dennis has given us a call. So, Dennis, I'll come to you. 102 WhatsApp voice notes first.
How come nobody in the previous hour has mentioned Dudu? She was the one who was appointed by Zuma, and she totally messed up big time. Yep. And yet no one has laid the blame at her doorstep.
Well, it's not just Dudu. It's Jacob. It's the ANC. I mean, they need to take collective responsibility for this. They allowed this nonsense to happen. What was Cyril Ramaphosa doing when he was deputy president? You have to ask the questions.
Hi, Kino. I just would like to know how it is possible that the ANC could just decide that they are going to put the mayor in Joburg, and why wouldn't the DA be able to put their own person in? I just don't understand how that's possible when they were elected in by the people. Thanks, Karen and Stellies.
Thank you very much for that, Karen. Well, the current mayor is the chairman of the ANC in Joburg and has obviously been put forward. There are questions around whether or not he was a recipient of state capture, and that is something we'll chat to Panyaza Lesufi and the DA about. But two DA councillors decided to vote with the ANC. So the DA effectively handed three, I think it is. We'll find out more. The DA handed the mayoral chains over to the ANC. But, of course, the DA causing their own problems with all the shenanigans over the last couple of months and years. But, yeah, anyway, let's go to Dennis. Dennis in Noortuk. Hi there, Dennis. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Kino. I'm just following up on the fire at Cape Town Station. That whole thing has just gone completely flat. I don't understand it. To me, that was tantamount to a terrorist attack and the ones that have happened before that. And it's just something that the media just seem to have been shut. I don't know if the media's been shut down or what's happening. But
I think this treadmill that we're on, this news cycle. Oh my word! You know, what do you focus on? But it's something we're keeping an eye on, as far as getting feedback is concerned. So they're looking for people. We've put it out there. Have they arrested people? We keep asking the questions. If something new happens, we bring it to you.
If I've got video footage, why haven't we seen that video footage?
That's a good question.
I actually don't believe it.
It's a good question. I'm not gonna go into the conspiracy theory side of things.
Yeah.
But I agree that we should have seen the video. I don't see how it would have compromised anything.
Yeah.
Then all eyes could be out there. We can identify them, get them arrested.
Yeah. I just think it's scary how things like this are just another daily occurrence, and it's just one day it's on the news, the next day it's disappeared. I guess that's the country we live in. But all right, thank you, man.
Dennis, have a lovely day, Dennis. In Noordhoek. It is 9:28. Some more voice notes from you. You are listening to 567 Medium Wave Cape Talk. I'm Kino Cummings, and you're listening to Today. We're with you all the way through until midday.
Hi, Kino. When NUMSA undertook their strike action against SAA recently, Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan was at very great pains to say that there would be no further bailouts from the national fiscus, and simply because there was no money in the national fiscus to do that anyway. So what's the first thing that's going to happen with this new rescue plan? There's going to be another 2 billion rands bailout. So perhaps it's not really a question of whether the national fiscus has enough money in it, but maybe it is the ANC coffer that is the more lacking. So where is our safeguard against that money not ending up in the hands of the ANC, which is the very cause of SAA being in the state that it is in the first instance?
No, listen, I don't think, I mean, the ANC's got some thugs, right? And we know that. And those thugs got us to where we are. I don't think government should have majority shares in this thing. I think they're too close to the unions. They're too compromised from that perspective. We have seen brown paper packets and all sorts of shenanigans at SAA. So I don't think they should. I think some commercial company must just come and take majority shares, give government 25 and let them sit down and shut up. But yeah, maybe you want to continue talking about this. You certainly can. The number to dial, 021-446-0567, and WhatsApp on 072-567-1567.
Cape Talk. WhatsApp Kino.
072-567-1567.
And thank you very much for tuning into the show. Some more of those WhatsApp voice notes that you've sent in. Thank you for taking the time to do that. And then Barbara Friedman will be telling you about those trending stories.
Good morning, Kino. I think well done to Union Solidarity for forcing government's hand in now applying for business rescue. Union Solidarity in the past have come up, I think, tops of the unions in the fighting for the man on the street. I really believe that. And my other point is that people mustn't forget that the crux of everything that has gone wrong with SAA and the other SOEs is the leadership of the ANC. They refused to take cognizance of all the warning signals in the past, and they can't stand back and say that it was the fault of the board of directors or whatever it could be. They have an NEC to make important decisions, and they haven't taken that initiative.
Yep, I agree with that.